You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hello, gentle listener. While Geek.io holds its talent to the highest standards, what follows will likely involve the sort of language usually reserved for sailors on leave. If you're of a delicate disposition, then perhaps you would consider a different podcast.
Spoilers.
Here on S4, we like to spoil you rotten, and as such, we take an in-depth look at the shows we cover, potentially spoiling any plot points up to and including the episode featured. If you haven't watched what we're discussing this week, and spoilers are an issue for you, you may want to come back later.
Yes indeed! Hello, and welcome, friends, to the Small Screen Spoiler Show, episode number 66! I, of course, am switching my camera on and am CJ, mentioned my lily pond boat. That man over there is, of course, my right-hand man, Jared. I don't want to be anyone's sack man as a veto.
I want to be everyone's sack man.
Not just one person's, but all of the sack man.
I'm a sack man to all.
Sack man!
Intersec man.
And of course, joining us for the final Iron Fist and for probably the last time of the regular show season, Rachel, go back to Xanadu or wherever, folks.
Yeah. Tell me to leave. You love me, though.
It's nice having a third, an active third person on, and not Daryl from the past.
You mean the future?
Or the future. Yes, sometimes the future. Sometimes a week ahead. And, of course, his chair is never empty, though. We always have. Daryl, nice to meet you, British lady. Shaler.
Aw, poor Daryl.
Come on, that was the cutest thing in that episode.
It was.
Tell me it wasn't.
It was super cute. It was super, super cute. And what shows are we talking about this week?
Well, tonight we're going to finish up Iron Fist and talk about Season 1, Episode 12, Bar the Big Boss, Season 1, Episode 13, Dragon Plays with Fire, and then starting Season 3 of Better Call Saul, Season 3, Episode 1, Mabel, and rolling with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 4, Episode 18, No Regrets.
No Regrets. All right. No Regrets. It's like that Snickers commercial. This show not brought to you by Snickers. Yeah.
But it could be.
It could be, yeah. If it's Snickers, I'm not saying we don't want you to sponsor us. I'm just saying you don't currently. I mean, you haven't beaten anybody up on an airplane, so, I mean, we'll take you. How to kill Jazz. all right, folks. We are actually going to take a quick break from our sponsors. Stay tuned. And welcome back. If you want an ad-free experience, make sure you tune into us live where you can hear us fight with our microphones during the commercial breaks. Mondays at 10 p.m.
Jiggle,
Eastern.
Jiggle.
Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern or geek-io.net/live. So, who is ready to punch the dragon with some Iron Fist?
Punch that dragon.
Let's see.
Punch it.
All right. So I do want to apologize for Daryl. Just because I don't listen to his stuff before the show starts because I don't want to ruin it for me, he did get it to me 5 hours instead of, 3 hours ahead of time this time. However, I'm not sure if he cheaped out on me and just reused the same intro from last week.
He probably did.
Probably, knowing him. Probably. So let's go ahead and start this, see what happens.
Iron Fist, ban the naked snake. Ward is in withdrawal mode, and oh god, how long is this going to last? We don't need another train spotting. I would be okay with some miracle drug that instantly detoxed him for the sake of losing this shitty storyline. Oh hey! There are deals, fights in the rain, and some sexy Tai Chi that may have had some actual tension with better actors. Well, with a better actor. Then the good guys show up to arrest Danny. They should have sent more men.
Good job, Daryl.
Yep. Not a spoiler this time, though.
Yeah. Boy, all right. So,
was the Tai Chi supposed to be sexy?
It was supposed to be sexy.
It wasn't. It was supposed to be? Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It wasn't. Just so you know.
It was attempted to be. If you didn't have a homosexual actor trying to be heterosexual, you might not have this issue. Just say it. No, I love him to death. I really and truly do. He's a great actor when he's not trying to feign heterosexuality, heteronormativity, and also an American accent. I love him to death.
So you can do one. Pick one of the three, but not all three at the same time.
No.
That's what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure you weren't being generalizing there.
No.
Saying that, you know.
If you ever watch him on Game of Thrones, he's fantastic. But then again, better writing quality as well, probably. Well, not probably.
Yeah. And directing.
Yeah.
And cinematography. And
cinematography and editing and better support. And editing, better supporting actors, too. No, I'll give one thing to this show. The special effects are pretty cool when they're used correctly. Because you really only have one special effect in this show, and that's the Iron Fist.
Yeah, the Iron Fist is solid.
Yeah.
It's a nice glowing yellow fist.
It gets the point across. This is what we punch people with. So, yeah. Start off, of course, with vampire zombie Dadomir.
Yeah, that was genuinely creepy.
Yeah, man. He's definitely creepy and made it very obvious in this episode that he is going to be the end of this. He's going to be the end boss of this entire season.
Indeed.
Yeah, there was by the end of this episode, there was no question who was going to be the end boss, mainly because all right, so I'm going to my iPad auto-corrected Bakudo's name about 50% of the time on my notes. I'm just going to read it how it types it. So sometimes it's going to be funny. Just heads up. Bakudo makes a pretty mean bad guy with the niceness with a cost kind of thing. He's not the best bad guy. Like, he's nowhere near Gao, but he's creepy.
Gao's a better bad guy.
He makes a good sub-boss. He's exactly what you want in a good mini-boss. Watching Colleen sucker punch Davos was hilarious.
Solid. It was solid.
I'm
reading my notes and trying to remember what they mean, because I watched this Wednesday, and that was so many days ago. So many things have happened since then.
Wait, you were just complaining that I couldn't remember much of what happened during American Gods in the book?
I know.
And you're talking about Wednesday?
No, but I did enjoy that, you know, when Davos and Colleen are arguing and yelling at each other and punching each other on the street corner. Yeah, nobody cares because it's New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically. I mean, there's nothing that you bat your eyes at in New York because you're like, yep, it's
NYC,
Tuesday.
Am I right? It's fine. Nobody cares. And then at the... Then in that same episode at the very end is the DEA is like storming the dojo because you have to go to the dojo for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There's an old man walking down the sidewalk as the DEA agents are like,
I put that too. I love that random Asian dude that they almost ran over when running away from the DEA.
Like, just walking along. It's like, yeah, just another normal day. DEA agent storming this building.
It kind of looked like he wasn't actually meant to be in that scene.
I don't think he was supposed to be there.
Because Colleen almost seriously ran into him and looked genuinely surprised that he was there. But they're like, you know what? This works. Let's keep it.
Yeah, let's just keep it. We'll just keep that shot. It's fine.
It works.
Random Asian dude, old man walks into the shot. Yeah, he's fine. It's fine.
That's one of my notes. Like, man, Colleen seriously looked like she was surprised to see that dude there. And I'm talking about the actress, not actually Colleen.
That old dude don't give an F.
I think he was just a person that
I'm just trying to go get my groceries.
I think he was just a person in New York City that just wandered around. And they're like, you know what? We like that. Let's just keep it. Oh,
so yeah, New York.
So again, I called him Bob Ross of the Hand because he is so totally Bob Ross of the Hand. We did get another Kyle.
He has a nice fro going.
Yeah, Got a Kyle reference in the fact that no, Joy never met Kyle, or else we'd have the perfect ship of the show Joy and Kyle.
I know. Oh,
perfect. They would have had the perfect best acting.
See, the hand needs to bring back Kyle.
Right? Yeah. Forget Bakudo. We need to bring back Kyle.
And for the record, we're no longer calling him Bakudo. We're now calling him Burrito.
Damn it! You ruined it.
No, we're renaming him. It's simple as that. The almighty iPad has said so.
Yeah, the iPad has corrected his name to Burrito 50% of the time.
Yes.
So I have notes like, that's not how you hold a sword, Burrito. Oh, what a shock. Is Burrito is gone. Burrito sure is no gal. And also, for some reason, I think Gao stands for something, because it seems to always capitalize all three letters of GAO.
But let's find out what that means.
An acronym for something.
Yeah, Global Access Operation, maybe?
Sure, that sounds good.
Well, it's a government office.
It's the Government Accountability Office. Oh, that's why it tries to... good on you, iPad. You know more than I do. So we're telling Colleen that she's not safe because the hand knows where she's at because you drag her to the same fucking place where you bring everybody to.
Okay, let's just think about it this way.
Go back to the dojo.
Back
to the dojo.
He's on the phone with Daddy, and he's talking like this.
Mumble, 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 mumble. Man, Ward mumbled a lot in these two episodes.
Yes, but Daddy Boromir is talking like this.
Yeah, the deadpan creepiness.
Zombie dad.
Where are you going?
Where will you be staying, Danny?
Where will you be?
I'll be at the dojo. Where else would I be, Dad? Gosh.
Get some rest.
There's two places that I am in this entire city. It's the dojo and your office. Am I in your office? No, I'm in the dojo.
Not in the penthouse. Not in my office. I'm in the dojo. Always at the dojo.
Three places. That's it.
If you got any captives or mortally injured people, we take them to the dojo. You know this.
Nope, they did not take Joy to the dojo.
Nope, they actually took her to the hospital.
They actually took her to a hospital.
Well, that was Danny's problem.
Yeah, Danny would have taken her back.
Danny
to
had
the
left with Bakudo.
Yeah, with Burrito.
if it had been up to Danny, they'd taken her back to the dojo.
So, Dadimir's, or I'm just going to call him Vladimir because that's fun. Vladimir's last words when Burrito had the sword to his neck, that was great. Ward, you suck. I loved your sister more. Shut your face. I hate you.
All right, I can die now.
I'm good. I told my son he sucks like everybody else is thinking this entire show.
Oh, Ward, you should be at least a little smart, right? Surely you've learned something. A man shows up and offers you magic drugs and gives you a promise, a deal that sounds too good to be true. Guess what?
Ward wasn't the best place. So, Bakudo was giving him what he wanted, and that's, like I said, that's good.
I'll kill your dad.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saving you from withdrawal, and I'll kill your dad. We cool? We're cool. All right, let's do this thing.
You know what? Yeah. That'll work.
Not
in front of my sister, though. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. Not Joy. She's, like, one of the two good actors in this show. So we got a really cool hallway fight in this episode with cool double camera effect of Colleen and Davos just kicking ass, man.
Yeah, that was fun. Enjoyed the lobby fight.
Yeah, it was good. Though at this point in the Marvel shows, I've come to the point if we were in a long hallway, I'm expecting a fight.
Expect a fight.
One does not simply walk down hallways in a Marvel show, apparently. and Rachel was taking tallies of the bone cracking noises.
Yeah, how many were there?
I stopped counting when I started feeling like that barf sensation.
I got about four in this fight. Like,
I think total for the entire season, including episode 13, I think we were at like 46 or so.
Yeah, there's a lot of bone cracking
like
in this.
It's a really obscenely large number for 13 episodes, and you just kind of go, every time you hear that. There's another one.
Crunch.
Oh, there's another one.
I did.
And CJ just sat there every time I go, laughing at me. So these last two episodes where there was a lot of it, and he's just going, I'm like, shut the fuck up. It's not even funny. It's just, gross.
I'm so glad it only took 12 episodes of 13 to get the fight choreography really good in this show.
Right?
Yeah, the fights are good in this episode.
You know, in the show of magical ninjas.
Go figure.
Man, I just... and I don't want... We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it after this. Davos versus Danny was a pretty cool fight, even though it was short.
Yeah. All the one-on-one fights were good.
Yeah, you know,
we had our Colleen versus Bakudo.
Yeah, which was a really good
choppy,
fight.
Choppy, choppy, flashy, stabby. That was a good fight.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Wing.
Indeed, indeed.
yeah, it was just, that's actually a really good sword fight that they had that they didn't have to do much with. And I'm like, and I said to Rachel out loud, I'm like, yeah, let's go into the ring where it's easier to obscure the fact that we have stunt doubles.
Right? It worked.
No, it didn't really work, man. Bakudo didn't look anything like himself. The stunt double they have for Colleen looks a lot like her, or it might actually be her. I don't know. I don't know much about this actress, so I don't know if she does her own stunts.
Hey, that's blatant racism. How do you know because she's Asian she's her own stunt double?
I mean, they have a lot more cojones than Americans do.
Well, yeah, this is true.
But Bakudo, man, his hair wasn't even the same color.
No. It was kind of annoying because every
same
time,
same,
just
stunt double, same guy. I didn't want to pay two people the same, you know.
Yeah,
2-for-1 deal.
You're right. It's the same guy that they had playing probably one of those cage fighters. When Burrito cut Colleen's arm, I thought it came off. I'm like, oh no, is Colleen gonna get the robot arm? Oh, damn it, nobody's getting the robot arm.
Nobody gets the robot arm. Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Maybe in the Defenders, Misty will get a robot arm.
Right?
One can only hope. Somebody's got to get a robot arm.
So, damn it. Somebody
has
the
technology.
I volunteer
as
tribute.
A robot hand.
Yeah, right? I'll replace my arm with robot arms.
No, you need to type.
I type even faster. And with less errors with robot arms.
No, you'd find a way to screw it up.
So
only once he figured out how to hack his robot arms.
Yeah, right. Man, Danny has
a
short fuse.
Things interesting.
Danny has a real short fuse when it comes to Davos.
He has a real short fuse in general.
Yeah.
He's not very good at controlling his emotions.
No. Not at all.
I mean, I understand being pissed about somebody killing your parents.
That's yeah, well that I get, but no, Davos is like, I wish the monks would have never found you. The no you comment
shut
from
up.
Davos and is like, no, shut up, I'm gonna punch you with my iron fist.
Well, to be fair, he's flat out said that it should have been him as Iron Fist, and it was all Danny's fault that everything was foobarred, so
I mean he's not wrong.
He's not. But you know, guess what? This is life, my friend. You get what you get and you deal with it. If you don't like it, sucks for you.
Yeah, we'll talk more about him next episode because I'm so glad I finally get to say stuff that I've been holding in all season.
Right?
Because, again, I've read a bunch of the Iron Fist books. That's the reason why I was so excited for this show.
I'm sorry you didn't get a better show.
Yeah, right? No, no.
So, I'll give it that it ended mostly pretty good.
I think it ended about as well as the last episode I'll put up there with Daredevil Season 2, which was not the best ending. Yeah. You and I agreed. Wasn't the best ending for a season that was really freaking good.
Yeah, yeah. So this one was like a It was above the average.
Yeah. It just took
except for the very, very end, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think we might disagree a little
bit. We'll get there.
All right. So I can only imagine that when after Colleen, you know, woke up from getting her arm almost cut off and the crap beaten out of her during a very emotional fight. God damn it, Danny. Why the fuck do you meditate with your hip hop music?
Because he's a butthead.
Dude. Now it's time for Sexy Tai Chi.
Yes. Sexy Tai Chi.
But it wasn't sexy.
To a song that came out in, like I said, it would be. I think it would be a better deal if, you know, he actually fit, if there was some kind of attachment between the two characters, to the two actors.
But hey, hey,
you know, if he knew what one of those hoo-has felt like, right? he might have a different attachment.
Hey, hey, Crazy in Love. You remember that song?
Yeah, right.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Not really.
It was like 13 years ago. Dude.
So longer ago than I want to admit.
Yeah, I was saying, dude, we are old. Everyone on this podcast is old. Some more, some older than others. Daryl. By the way, did you see Daryl's new haircut?
Oh my gosh. You were right.
I told you.
You were on the money. 13 years.
I told you, holy dude. Did you see Daryl's new haircut and must and his new goatee getup? By the
I
way,
I did not.
Yeah,
it's on the Facebook.
It's on the Facebook. He looks like he can almost pass his 35. Good job,
Daryl. If you want me to smack him or throw something at him during the next episode, just
I will gladly do so.
Yeah.
In song form,
I got you covered.
I'm like, I put down here. Damn it, Daryl, for spoiling this episode. This. Mostly good episode.
Curse you.
I don't
all have... I really remembered from his spoiling party was Sexy Tai Chi and Magic Drugs.
Yeah.
Yes, Magic
both
Drugs.
Both of which were not not that critical to the
no,
plot line. So.
No. So, I mean, that's all I got on my notes.
Yeah, no.
No, he doesn't.
Not a fan of the sexy chai tea. It did nothing for me.
Sexy chai tea? Is that what you just said, Rachel?
Yes, me and my sexy chai tea.
He looks so serious.
Yeah, man, he does look serious. It's what he gets when he looks like older Jason Statham.
No, he doesn't look serious. He looks like he needs to drop a deuce. Like, stop trying to beat around the bush. He looks constipated.
Jeez, he's not constipated. He's British. There's two differences.
No, he just. He's just making his Mike Erman Trout face.
He looks like he needs to be sitting on the shitter.
The loo, as they call it over there.
No, the shitter.
The loo. All right, are we good with episode 12?
Yes.
I have two more notes.
Okay.
One, I can't remember what it was, but it said, how long have you been there, Davos? It's like I think somebody was having a conversation or something, and Davos just kind of like popped in. Wait, how long has he been there? Has he been there the whole time? And the other one is freaking Ward and Daddy Faramir. Wash your freaking hands, guys.
Right?
You walk into the hospital, they're all, like all covered in blood with blood all over their hands.
Yeah, that's not all at right, all suspicious.
Let's just go sit in the waiting room.
Dude is coughing in the corner, so he goes, in his face. I'm like, really? You've literally got blood on your hands. Like, literally have blood on your hands. And you're worried about some dude coughing?
Them, guys.
Right?
And that was like the second or third time where I was like, geez, why didn't they wash the blood off their hands?
You come in, you come in holding a bloodied woman with blood on your hands. Like
literally and figuratively, both Daddy Faramir and Ward both literally and figuratively have blood on their hands.
Yeah, man.
In so many indescribable ways, but they're getting bent out of shape, especially Daddy, because in the corner, it's like, dude, first of all, you can't die if you get sick. Second of all, get over yourself and go get some Purell, motherfucker.
Just people are so gross.
Just
oh my
wash
God.
Your hands.
Yeah, he's the weirdest, the weirdest freaking germaphobe ever.
People are so gross. Let me rub my face with my blood-soaked hands.
Right?
My eye itches. I know. Just kept waiting for an orderly to run in there with some bleach.
Right?
Anyway.
All right. We good?
How about episode 13?
Episode 13.
How about that finale?
Yeah, let's see what Daryl has to say about the finale.
Yay!
Iron Fist. Dragon plays with balls. Iron Fist is on the run because Danny ran from their cops. Fortunately, he has a hoodie and a trinity to help. Living Dad has officially returned from the dead and has gone full-on bad guy. He even does his best to make his son join the club. Danny turns to Madame Gao to get the mystical tablet that can prove his innocence, but really it all serves to progress the plot far enough that we can prove how special effects and fight choreography can greatly improve over the course of filming a season. If, however, all you wanted was to see Iron Fist punch a dragon, then you're going to leave this episode sorely disappointed. I suppose the upshot of that is that they saved that moment for when they have some more money in the special effects budget. Oh, and we had our Stan Lee cameo.
Did we?
We did. Kind of. It was the same as Luke Cage. It was a poster in the background.
Oh, okay.
Towards the beginning of the episode.
Gotcha.
I think it was in the alleyway where he, you know, like, goes off to the side and freaks out.
Oh, okay. I think I was too busy paying attention to Claire reacting to everything in that video. In that scene.
Yes. Let's make a list of things that you're not allowed to ever say.
Let's start with that.
Jeez, is there anything that doesn't involve violence with you two?
No,
I
no.
have to kill him.
Let's pick the one that doesn't involve killing someone.
Oh my god, I just want Claire reacts to the show. Instead of Defenders proper, I just want Claire reacting to everything that they do just with her in the background. Just like... That's what I want. I said, first notice, you suck, Harold. And then, I mean, this was always in the cards, right? It was always going to be Danny versus Harold at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Though I did enjoy him opening up the safe. It's like, combination's still the same? I didn't even know that was there.
And I'm like, and I put down here, Ward,
why are you so bad at this?
Why are you so bad at this, Ward? Jesus.
There's a secret safe in this office? Get out of town.
I mean, he didn't even remember to change his dad's access code to the fucking building. So, I mean, it really shouldn't surprise anybody that Ward didn't know that was
That wasn't entirely his fault. I mean, HR should have at least put in a ticket for that 15 years ago.
IT! Well,
Ward is like the worst businessman freaking ever.
Yeah, Danny's the bad businessman.
Right? And as if we didn't realize that something was going to happen with the whole Gao drug thing, like...
Yeah, that was a MacGuffin that I was just kind of surprised it didn't pay off a little bit earlier.
Well, CJ, it's something that you and I had discussed a while back, and I'm just... I had said, when is the other shoe going to drop?
Yeah. Speaking of shoes, always with the shoes and Danny when he's on the run.
Yeah, well, to be fair... He was in the middle of his sexy Tai Chi moment with his constipated look. Maybe he was getting ready to go to the bathroom when he was done doing his hoo-ha dance with her. And, you know, the DEA comes busting in and you go, oh, shit, yeah, I was going to get busy, so I'm just going to leave my shoes there, and out the door he goes. I wouldn't have been thinking about shoes if the DEA busted on me. Fuck it.
Well, I mean, he didn't. He knocked him out first and he's like, oh, wait. These are D agents.
I'm a run.
Moving on.
Gotta go.
So I like how Harold's like the cabinet will not cabinet. Freaking the board will welcome me back with open arms. And Rachel and I both at the same time said, except for that guy you killed.
Yeah, Lawrence.
Except for that one guy I shot in the face.
Poor
Except
Lawrence.
For Lawrence, because I'm pretty sure he's got some hard feelings there. If he has feelings left anymore, you know. Hey, his poor boy, Michael.
Whatever that guy's name was.
Poor Michael. Lawrence. Yeah. Lawrence.
I said, in here I put, why? He's literally a zombie, an evil zombie who killed the best thing on this show. Poor Kyle, I miss you, boo.
Hashtag Kyle forever. Forever missed. Crash Browns.
Yes, CJ was definitely beside himself when...
I put in here, and of course this is towards the middle of the episode, I go, I wonder if we're going to get by the end of the episode some kind of connection between this and the Defenders, since that's the next show in the pipe. Next note. Nope. F you. F you, Iron Fist.
Maybe if Davos is the big bad of...
spoiler alert, he is. I'll get into that here in a couple of minutes.
Or maybe that dragon.
Let's steal the let's steal the documents from Burrito. Good job, iPad.
Good job. Well, we have to steal the iPad from there too, so don't forget about that.
All right, so Gao is like the perfect bad guy.
Yes. Why is she? Okay. She's still staying in prison herself.
Yeah, because
for him to come.
She doesn't need to be out to have power. She knows she has power. No.
Like, you can break out. There's just screens on the windows. Why don't you leave?
Well, see, I love the way that
she can starve. It's like, I don't need food.
Okay. But she's done nothing but tell him the truth.
Yeah, she has been completely honest this entire show. She has literally
said no lies.
She is
the only transparent thing on the entire show.
This is true. Though, like, was anyone shocked when we found out that it was Harold who actually killed his parents?
No. All right. So here we go. No, because, I mean, especially not me, a person who's read the comic books, because I was surprised when they're like, Gao killed his parents. I'm like, and I looked at Rachel and go, no, Harold killed his parents. I mean, I guess we could have Gao kill the parents, because, I mean, that works, but, you know. And then this episode, ha! I was right! Harold did kill his parents!
Well, I haven't read the book either, but that came as no shock or surprise to me at all.
Not one bit.
Harold. Was it just me, or was that whole scene shot weird?
It was shot weird.
The room just too small for the camera, and there was a lot of room noise, which was unusual.
I think that was done intentionally, because it was kind of meant to show his loosening from intelligence or his sanity.
I guess. It was like a like you could hear the AC running or something, fan in the background.
Or they could have just had a really powerful fan in the background. I could be giving it a little bit too much credit, but man, I mean, this episode
couldn't edit out the room noise, really.
I mean, this
Why
episode
is it so blue?
Kind of did everything like it was supposed to, though. I mean, this episode actually was really good.
It was.
And given
it
how
just, that
the,
whole,
rest,
that, the way that scene was shot bothered me.
I mean, I could have dealt without the constant shaky cam with him dealing with his chi misbalancing.
Yeah.
I said, put in here, no shit, Danny. Maybe once you stop acting like a fucking 10-year-old boy, you might actually be able to be a freaking hero.
Hey, that's what I said.
You could be an Iron Fist.
The quote of some shit you just can't punch.
Oh, I got that one. Let me just go ahead and X that off.
Danny,
thanks, Claire.
Shut up and listen to the pretty ladies. They know what they're talking about.
Yes. Please listen to them. Let them be your conscience and your guide.
Rachel noted that Joy is becoming such a good actress finally.
Yeah.
Yes.
I said that a couple episodes ago when, you know, she finds out her dad's alive. And like ever
but,
since
well,
that's she, forward, she's
yeah, it started then, and she seems to be like progressing through like real emotion when she's talking now. Although I have to say, I do have to say that the total look of like, oh shit, I was just shot.
That was good.
That sold me. I was like, wow.
Yeah, she actually had that shocked look on her face, not like screaming in pain, because you wouldn't be screaming in pain from that, especially if it's clean in and out. Like, you wouldn't feel pain until, like, after the adrenaline wore off, and then, oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this hurts a lot.
Yeah. Give me alcohol. Okay, yay, I got alcohol. I mean, still hurts, but, you know. I thought Ward was going to die before the end of the episode, and after he got smacked in the face at the club, I'm like, yep, there we go. Bye, Ward. Nope, never mind.
No, I didn't think he would die. We still need him around to be annoying for the other seasons.
Right.
Claire's... Gotta have that one annoying character in these shows, right?
Like Karen. And, Karen. And,
Laurel. And
yeah, and what's her name from, her friend, Wildcat from Jessica Jones.
Black Mariah.
Black Mariah.
Oh, yeah, Wildcat.
Oh God.
Claire sells propane and propane accessories in the form of flamethrowers.
I have to say, his guards outside the building being like, "Hey, you, come back here! Fuck you! This is New York. I ain't staying around for you. Screw that shit."
What is that?
I'm gonna take over your card. Is this enough for it? Sure. Okay. What? Here, it's yours. It's Tuesday in New York, everybody.
The whole card. I'm not selling you my card. Here, just take the giant bag of money. Walk away.
How much is in there? I don't know. However much Hogarth could give me.
And I have to say, $5 will get you about 30 seconds of my time. Bring it to him. Sold! You gave him more than 30 seconds.
Yeah, right. I got a nice shot of a pretty iconic Iron Fist book cover when he was punching his way through the window. That was nice to see.
That was cool.
Yeah,
I enjoyed all the neat tricks they had in this final battle. They saved up their CGI budget for this.
Yeah, man, that Chi bomb was cool as hell, man.
And punching the ground and busting out the whole floor,
that was really cool.
I have one question.
Yes, Richard.
How the hell did they get all those windows replaced so quickly?
Money.
Rand Corp. Billions and billions of dollars.
So after Harold shot Danny in his Iron Fist, I go, "Hey, now he can be the Lead Fist."
Right in the Iron Fist. Oh, I see what you did there.
Hey, we get to see him punch the dragon. God damn it! You get to see him punch the dragon. God damn it!
Not gonna see the dragon, CJ.
I want to see him punch the dragon.
I even waited till after all the credits were done.
Me too.
Stinger with the dragon.
Even after all of the Deutschen, all of the international ones.
The freaking 10 minutes of international credits.
Yeah, didn't we do this during Luke Cage 2, where we watched it till the very end of it, hoping there would be some kind of stinger at the end?
Surely they're gonna do something where Defenders don't. No, I guess they're done.
Nope.
Okay.
I mean.
Never mind.
If they were going to do it with any of them, this would have been the episode. This would have been it because, I mean, it is next. We're getting that in September. So, I mean, we're going to come back. That'll probably be our premiere because I don't know if we're going to come back with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's probably what we're going to start our show on next season is Defenders. But I was just kind of hoping something like... I put down here ninja claws and booty shorts. What a combination.
Yes, please. But that ass, though.
I'm going to keep these.
Yeah, these are mine.
These are mine. All right, Claire, you keep your ninja claws. Those are red. Go for it. Get it, girl.
Get right. Put down here, I guess that's one way to make sure. Oh, because they're watching him be incinerated. I guess that's one way to make sure that you know Harold's actually dead. Watch him be cremated.
It's like, okay, well, they gotta.
No, your initial response is, why are they watching him?
That's
creepy. I'm like, hello, they didn't cut his head off. You have to make sure his ass is really dead. Do you really want Harold coming back only half roasted?
Takes ashy.
He would. He would.
Takes ashy elbows to a new level. All right, any other notes before we talk about the very end?
I thought that was a well-written little scene between Ward and Danny there while his dad was being cremated.
Just because.
Like, but who will I blame now?
I promise it's nothing bad, but you guys need to look at this because then you will understand where my brain just went to. It's never good when I send a link, but this one's kind of awesome.
I'm not on that computer.
You need to be on that computer.
Pretty good.
Hold on. Damn it.
Do you need me to send it to you with message, CJ?
Nice.
I can do that.
No. Nice. I like it. That's good. That one's good.
So, yeah. Danny and Ward had a moment, and it was actually well written and made sense and was good.
And
congratulations on getting that in the last 5 minutes of the season.
I'm going to call Rachel out on this one. She cried at the pictures being changed.
At the what being changed?
The pictures in the office.
Yes. I did.
She teared. She got mistied. That was great.
I went, oh, look, Ward did something nice. Oh, wait, he's still got daddy's photo. Oh, well, yeah, I guess it is his father.
I was expecting him to start shooting golf balls into it.
I asked if we could use him for target practice. Yes I will admit that. Because it was, oh, look, he changed the picture. Look, he put daddy on the wall. Oh. Where'd he put daddy for a mirror? Oh, can we use that for target practice?
Also, where's Danny's dad's picture? He just got thrown away.
He's in Danny's office. I'm spreading it around.
All right. Anything else before we get into the very end talking here?
Let's go to Kunlun.
All right. Yep. Kunlun. Gonna go to the Kunlun.
Colleen, go with me. Oh, yay.
Oh, so sweet.
It's like, oh, look, Danny faced his dragon and he's growing and it's good and he's not being a jerk to Colleen and we're going to Kunlun. Okay.
What was my line, CJ? Hey, honey, this will be the best vacation ever. As she's coming around the corner with that look of, I fucking hate you.
Trust me, it's better when we actually get there. It's green and, you know, warm.
Oh, no. There's dead bodies, which, okay, yeah, no shock that Kunlun's gone and something bad had happened since he was Iron Fist and supposed to be there.
Well, not necessarily.
It's all my fault.
No, it's not.
Did we just get over this?
Because Davos is now back. He's been confirmed to be the Steel Serpent. Oh, my God. I've been holding this in all fucking season since we got Davos introduced. All right.
Damn, you're banging that ball a little hard, honey. Watch it.
Steel Serpent is one of my favorite villains. Steel Serpent is one of my favorite villains because he does really cool tricks with chi and weapons and really cool things. And, like, he's granted hand ability to, like, transform into other people. And, like, he's actually a mystical ninja. And, like, I'm so happy that it's cute British guy doing it. So it is going to be Gao leading Steel Serpent, kind of being the head of the hand in the Defenders, because this is not the first time that the Steel Serpent has taken on the Marvel Knights, which essentially is this group minus Blade and Doctor Strange, and almost beat them. So with the addition of Jessica in this, and pretty much in place of Blade, and we still don't have anybody taking place of Doctor Strange, but, you know, that is to be whatever. The Steel Serpent, actually, if they give him the same amount of powers that he's supposed to have, is actually going to be a pretty big threat to the Defenders. Because, obviously, he has all the intelligence and everything from the hand, which, apparently, except for Jessica, they have all the information on all of the Defenders on.
Jessica keeps a low profile. Nobody knows anything about her.
Nobody knows a single thing about Jessica.
Wasn't there somebody, some lady with superpowers who killed some guy who could mind control people on a pier or something? Didn't that happen?
Nope. Moving on.
Maybe. I think so.
Nope. That's all a lie.
Nah, it's probably made up. Don't worry about it.
Though, if they put him at full power, they're going to have to do something with the relative low power, because the Steel Serpent actually took on the Marvel Knights / Defenders after they had already gotten their powers up a little bit. So Iron Fist was actually, you know, able to not be a whiny D-bag, and Daredevil was, you know, competent. Luke Cage is...
But not in lawyering.
Yeah. Luke Cage, and he's always, you know, the best at what he does, and what he does is punching people in the face.
He's a tank.
Yeah, he's a tank. But we really need it, because the hand does have a mystical element to them. We needed somebody to be able to counteract that. We had that in Doctor Strange in the books. I'm interested to see if they do anything with that in this one.
Based on this episode of Iron Fist, I'm kind of thinking no, but maybe.
I mean, Gao being the main villain and proving the fact that she has extreme chi manipulation is a big deal. And she's been confirmed as the main villain. The Steel Serpent is going to be her sub-boss, basically. Davos. And if she gives him a quarter, he's basically the negative Iron Fist. He uses negative chi and negative energy to empower his abilities, as opposed to the Iron Fist, which uses yin. You'll notice.
So that's what Davos is, or not Davos, Bakudo. That was his end game, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's why he wanted to get Danny on their side, was to turn him into the Steel Serpent.
Exactly, because he was trying to manipulate the high yin energy of the Iron Fist into a yang energy. Yang is typically in Buddhism and everything along those lines negative. It's, you know, the pits of what you actually feel and, you know, all those negative emotions. Davos being the pure conduit of that, you know, that's basically just going to feed him and make him significantly more powerful. However, the Iron Fist is actually a mystical tool and not necessarily an ability that one can learn. You have to actually get that from crushing the serpent's heart, or the dragon's heart. He manifests his through weapons that can hold chi. So, like, he'll have a sword that he can focus his chi into and extend it out several feet, or make it super sharp to, I don't know, cut a person who can't be cut, for example.
Ah. I see what you're getting at.
That's what makes him so dangerous. Gao also knows, you know, has been alive for approximately 400 years. So she's learned points to, she doesn't have to actually hit you in order to be a danger to you. That's another reason why Luke Cage may prove to be the liability in the Defenders, at least to start off with, especially if they team up with the hammer tech that is from Luke Cage's story.
Hammer tech.
So
it all makes sense.
And
you got the groundwork laid.
Yeah, I mean, they did a very good job at laying the groundwork for this. It is a matter of execution at this point. I believe the director, the showrunner for the Defenders showrunner, finds its showrunners and trying to remember. I'm looking up, googling to see who they are. This is Marvel.com. So this is directly from them. It's the people who led Daredevil Season 2. Douglas Petrie, who did Daredevil Season 1, Buffy the Vampire Slayer in Daredevil Season 2, and Marco Ramirez, Daredevil Season 2, and Orange is the New Black Season 3, are set to return as the showrunners in the Marvel Universe of the Netflix original series Marvel's The Defenders.
Another, it's pretty solid pedigree.
Yeah. Another alum from Marvel's Daredevil, Oscar nominee Drew Goddard, The Martian, Lost, and Alias, will also join the team as executive producer.
Excellent.
The executive producers and showrunners of Marvel Daredevil Season 2 will unite The Man Without Fear with Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist for the miniseries event, bringing our heroes together to face their biggest threat yet. So, we actually have a good pedigree on this one.
Punchy, punchy, fighty, fighty.
Yes, we have, you know, good people leading Defenders, which is nice. All in all, though, I didn't hate this ending for Daredevil Season 2, especially once we got the Steel Serpent Iron Fist. Once we got the Steel Serpent confirmed, I'm like, all right, cool. At least we now know what they're facing in. Well, I know what they're facing.
Yeah,
and
the only thing that bothered me about the ending was him blaming himself again. Because, like, we just spent this whole season of him working him through his blaming himself for his parents' death or for whatever reason. He finally grew and got beyond that and then immediately found something else to blame himself for. I'm like,
That's what 10-year-old boys do.
Yeah.
I know, but he was supposed to grow. We're supposed to have growth. He spent the whole season.
Okay, I love you both dearly, but you boys never have to grow up. Men never really grow up.
That is not at all true, and now you can leave my show.
there comes a point where, you know, 98%, now I'll say 95% of men never grow up.
But I mean, he didn't exactly have the best leaving off of his childhood, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
But
it kind of ruined all of the growth that we had in this final episode, and you know, him overcoming his dragon.
Though
et cetera,
he was still able to summon the Iron Fist.
It's like it immediately sucked the wind out of the sails.
Yeah, I feel you. But I mean, the fact that he was able to summon the Iron Fist still shows that there's still, you know, the fact that he did face his major dragon, and this is something that he's going to have to deal with, which is fine. We're going to have to deal with Kunlun being closed for some reason and how to reopen it to be able to get back in there, which will, I have a feeling what's going to happen. I'm not going to spoil it though, because this is a Marvel Knights book at this point.
Indeed. And what does he want with Joy? Just financial backing?
Pretty much. I mean, the hand always operates on several levels at once. That is always their thing. There's never just point of the hand.
There are many fingers.
There are many fingers. So I'm gonna give this one a digit, because it's not technically a finger. I'm gonna give this one at the ending a thumbs up. Good job, Iron Fist, on turning it around.
Yeah. Yeah, he turned it around at the end. It wasn't amazing, but it was good.
Like I said,
I enjoyed it. It worked.
It worked very well.
I put this on par with Daredevil season 2's ending.
Yeah.
I can tolerate that.
It's definitely not Daredevil season 1's ending, which was really, really good. It's hard to beat Jessica's ending, and Luke Cage's ending was all right. The rest of the season The rest of the season was really good. The Luke Cage ending was kind of fell flat for me.
Yeah, it was just kind of in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
It just kind of ended.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, I mean, I'd have to actually put that. So, like, on ending scale, Luke Cage has to be the worst of the show endings for me. Like, final episodes is what I'm talking about here. Luke Cage is probably the worst. Yeah. Jessica's the top for me personally. Jessica, Daredevil season 1, Iron Fist, Daredevil season 2, and Luke Cage for me.
Yeah, I can agree with those.
Yeah, it's kind of on top. I'd probably put Daredevil season 1 over Jessica, but
that's fine. That's fair. Daredevil season 1 had a really good finale.
Solid finale.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Wilson Fisk makes everything good.
Right? And spoiler alert, you are
going to get Defenders too, right?
Oh yeah, you're going to get Wilson Fisk, you're going to get Hammer Tech, you're going to get the Hand, because all of them are entwined. They're literally setting up every single facet of the Hand that you've had from the books, aside from their headquarters in. No, you actually had that in this one too, with the headquarters in China, just a different name for it. You have all of the facets. You're going to get Shadowlands. For anybody who knows what I'm talking about, you're going to get Shadowlands, and it's going to be fantastic.
Tuck in, folks. Tuck in.
This premieres. What is the premiere? Defenders premiere date. We are getting this. Thanks, 2017. Appreciate it.
So we have what? 8 more months?
Yeah, fairly sure. I've seen September in here. They've not given any official date, but the rumor is, the upper right editing stating 8/8/2017 or 8/18/2017. With that obscure move, Netflix has officially revealed that Defenders will premiere on August 18, 2017. So
hey, so right after our anniversary, yay!
Yeah, we Ooh, we might be able to do some Dragon Con goodness with the Defenders, you guys.
Mayhaps.
I will talk Alrighty. To our friends at Dragon Con. All right, Rachel. So that's it for Iron Fist. So I'm going to let you get to bed.
Yeah, because Rachel did the stupid thing, and she's still not quite recovered from it.
So, all right,
if
Rachel.
You failed it.
Thank you for coming on and doing the Defenders with us. I appreciate it.
No, not Defenders.
Or Frick!
Iron Fist.
Sorry, I'm now doing other things.
When Defenders comes out, obviously I will be watching it with you anyway. So at that point in time, if I'm, you know, involved and invested in watching that, like I was involved and invested in watching this in Luke Cage, I will come join you.
Fair enough.
Unless we find something else between now and then that I can get my teeth into. So
iZombie came back on. I haven't got to watch it yet, but iZombie's back.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's on episode 3 of season 3.
We have to go watch that. Anyway,
good night,
I'm going
Rachel.
To bed. Love you, boys. Bye.
Night, night. Love you, too. Very well.
All right. What's next? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? You want to do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Meh, either that or Better Call Saul, one or the other.
Mainly because I have to look for the Better Call Saul title card. Let's do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I have that one ready.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. it is.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. All right. Let's see what Daryl has to say about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., no regrets. So, this is going to be the last time I get to call Mace Counterfeit America then, because he's dead now.
Oh.
And you know what? Fuck that. He got to die as Captain America, even if they wouldn't let him wear the red, white, and blue. And fuck them for that too, by the way. He deserved it. So Captain America dies holding up a goddamn building because Professor Coulson rescues some kids while on a mission to rescue Trip and maybe Daisy. Which, yes, by the way, it does mean that a real person died to save some NPCs who are getting reprogrammed. May takes some super soldier serum to fight him, though it wears out before she can do a decent job of it. Perhaps she should have taken the instantly acting serum that only lasts an hour after the journey to the base instead of before. Luckily, she turns good in time for the stinger by giving Sky a Terrigen-fueled makeover because Fitz has broken her a little and no one wanted a battle-damaged Quake for the rest of the season. And Fitz, so Fitz. We knew your dad was an arsehole, but we didn't know that having him around would have made you an arsehole too. Oddly enough, Simmons comes off as a little cold this episode too, but that's because she's genre-savvy enough to know NPCs aren't worth worrying about, and let's face it, she doesn't particularly want to become invested in any reality where the love of her life is a Nazi Barney Stinson.
Indeed.
Oh, man.
All right, so Better Call Saul.
All right, yeah, we're moving on. All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hit almost all of my notes,
oh, I
got man. So
I was with you. I was with you for the first when it returned, and it was terrible, and we hated it, and whatever. But dang it,
yeah.
You're starting to win me over, CJ.
Right.
You're starting to win me
no,
over.
No, you're not. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. And I hate the fact that I'm saying this.
I still hate looking at Mort's stupid face.
Yes, he
I
does.
Still hate that.
He is, and that's literally my right. last note. I go, man, this is actually getting better. I hate to say it, but I still hate seeing Rob Dalton's stupid face, though.
Brett Dalton.
Brett, I did it again.
whoever Rob Dalton is, man, F that guy.
Yeah, didn't he play? Didn't he play Knight Rider?
Yeah, probably. You burned me.
Oh man. Yeah. All right. R.I.P. Captain Fo-America. Man.
Yeah, but they let him die as a hero.
He died a fucking hero, man. Good.
Even though he was ashamed of his life in the real world, he got to die a hero, so.
Yeah, man. Like he.
Props to you, Captain Fo-America.
He went out real good. And that was a death befitting a freaking hero.
Heck yes.
I put after his death.
I did not see them setting that up, and then as soon as it started, I was like, oh. Oh, I know what they're doing now. Aw.
Yeah, man. They actually gave him legit superpowers.
Like him.
He's a legit inhuman, and he got to die being Captain America. I put in here, interesting on what that'll look like in the real world. Do his vitals just stop? Next note. Thanks, Shield, for that payoff.
yes, they do.
Oh, man. This show, this episode kind of tugged at a lot of heartstrings, man.
For real.
Daddy Mac is still, you know, just the best.
Daddy Mac. Oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, even Simmons is getting the feels.
Yeah, man. Like, oh, crap.
Like, they're just ones and zeros can't die or feel the cold.
Oh, man.
But then still, like, gearing up and getting feels over.
I'm so glad Daddy she wasn't there when Trip showed back up!
I know! Yes. It was the best surprise ever.
Right?
And we pulled him out. I was like, oh, it's Trip.
It's Trip.
He's like, who's that? He died like in season 2.
Oh my God. Yeah, he died during the first Terrigen explosion in the show.
Yes. He's the one that Mac replaced.
Yeah.
He was the token black guy that Mac replaced.
Oh, man. He was so good. I'm like, now, no, he's just an NPC. He's probably going to die.
He is just an NPC, but
dang
it, if they're going to make us look at Ward's dumb face, at least they gave us Trip's wonderful face to look at.
For an episode. Oh, my God, they killed Trip, you bastards. You give it back to us just to take him away.
Accept it.
I had down here a couple of quotes. My Spanish is mucho bueno.
Yep, I got that one too.
Squidmobile.
Hydra Murderbot.
Hydra Murderbot, yep. Itchy like hives.
It's nice to meet you, British lady.
Yep. Even a dash of peppermint.
Oh, I know. They use Guy's dad's formula with even the dash of peppermint.
Yes. Which,
if I'm willing to bet, was just an ad lib by Kyle McLaughlin.
Probably.
I'm glad that was still there.
It's canon.
I was like, Guy's dad's serum, and then he's like, with a dash of peppermint. Oh my gosh, it's Guy's dad's serum.
Your psycho prison sucks. Mount up, Flugelman.
Jamie Flugelman.
Oh, man.
It's Canadian. Why are you guys so serious? Transporting a bus full of dead bodies, that's all.
Gentle Dad Coulson is just the best. Like when he's giving all the blankets to the Inhumans and the people and the subversives. When Coulson is acting like a dad is just the absolute best that he is. Like I like him when he's on the field being Mr. Commander, but man, Dad Coulson is just the best.
I'm enjoying Fake Matrix Coulson a lot.
Yeah. Because he's a good he's a good actor. He's like, able to combine
original Coulson.
Yeah.
Before, all the terrible things happened to him.
Exactly.
Made him a sad man. Though, he's been better all season, but...
Yeah. Because
kind of
his regret
his
is...
storyline a bit's been fun.
One of his regrets, because when Gemma told him that he killed Ward, he had that look on his face, like, oh, no.
You crushed his chest with your robotic hand on another planet. Wow.
Hey, we have the episode title. Good job, Madam Hydra.
Indeed.
No, Sky, she's not the Puppet Master. The Puppet Master's DC. She's Madam Hydra. Shut up and learn your history.
Pull the strings.
All right, so.
I don't have my pass.
Here we go. Now Fitz is the villain in your history books. Gemma was too young and blind to see.
Because his dad's a douche.
Oh my god, his dad is such a douche.
So I didn't hate Fitz as much this episode, which also helped.
Yeah.
They gave us a glimpse. They gave us a glimpse of real Fitz.
Yes.
When he's like, what if I didn't need to kill her? What if da da da?
That's your mother talking.
That's your mother talking.
His accent's weird. Like, I don't know if it's just because I'm not used
to
hearing.
To be a man.
I'm not used to hearing old Irish people, but like, man, his accent was weird. But so his regret is his dad passing, which turned him into a human, evil human being. Man, that's kind of fucked up, man.
Oh, wow. So your greatest regret was your dad, but. Your dad surviving turns you into the most evil person in the world. Or at least the second most.
Yeah, man. Allowing Fitz to act in this episode was good. Like, allowing him to actually get, in and being able to be an actor instead of just, a dickhead was what we needed. And that's the thing that I like about this episode. Because now we've had the world built. We took one.
Now we get to see the seams start to crack.
Incredibly long episode of world building, in the first episode. In the second episode, all right, we had the world built. We have to kind of start setting up the pieces. And now we actually begin to see the dominoes start to fall. And that's when S.H.I.E.L.D. is its best, is when there is stuff going on. When they were introducing and building up the Inhumans, it was kind of bad. Once the Inhumans were there and they were actually doing things, S.H.I.E.L.D. got good again.
Yes.
There wasn't a lot
with
of there wasn't a lot of world building in this season so far, and that's why it's been constantly good. The only world building we had was the Darkholm, but that was a minor MacGuffin point, so they didn't need to build up a ton around it.
Yeah, and leaving the Darkhold kind of vague and mysterious was
needed. Yeah, if
gave it more power. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. If they would
have made it more thing. If you just go in there and explain it, then it's like, nah, okay.
Yeah, which S.H.I.E.L.D. is really guilty of doing. They tend to over-explain things sometimes, and that is to the detriment of the team. They've done a very good job in not over-explaining things. It's like, oh, there's a mystical book, and it created this demon guy who kills people. Cool. All right, moving on. Hey, now there's an android. Life model decoys. Cool. Moving on. Then they put us into a world where they had to recreate a world. And that brought us back to season two in a post-Winter Soldier world where we just kind of hit the brakes real quick.
Real quick. And we're going to bring Ward back in for just to make it
yeah.
even worse.
Yeah, just to make all of you people who really hated season two, we're just going to bring him back. Yeah! And, of course, they stop showing him as much, and the show gets better. Like,
exactly.
It's strange how the time that Brett Dalton, because I almost called him Rob again, Brett Dalton. Drink!
Who's Rob Dalton?
The time that you see Brett Dalton on the screen, less equals a better show. Strange how that works.
So I searched Rob Dalton just a
is
curious.
It nobody?
First Google search that comes up is Rob Dalton, purveyor of fine Arizona custom knives.
Yeah, if that guy had his stupid handsome face. I kind of want
Rob Dalton.
If I'm ever in Arizona, I'm gonna search him out, man. Like, I want to buy a knife from Rob Dalton just because I'm rubbing his name through the mud all. Like, for the last 2 years of doing this show.
All
right, so. If I'm ever in Arizona, remind me that I need to go find Rob Dalton and buy a knife from him. And then,
I didn't pay attention to who wrote this one, but it was written well.
Yeah.
We had some good scenes, like Quake and
Ada?
Radcliffe.
Oh,
discussion
yeah, right.
of a single sentence can change
yeah,
the entire
man.
World.
That was deep. Good.
The Fitz moment of, you know, oh, look, there's Fitz. Fitz is still in there. That evil monster does still have some Fitz inside.
Yeah, but again, we are still going to have to deal with the fallout when all of their memories exist still, so.
Yeah. There's that.
But. So at this point, I'm fairly sure next episode is the last episode of The Matrix because we have Quake back, and she is the main focus of this season. Like, her being Quake and her being a superpower person is the main focus of the season. So I think at this point, she's going to be able to shake the Matrix to its core.
If, as you were.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Shake the Matrix.
Yes. Shake the Matrix. I'm glad you caught on to that.
okay, good.
I got it. I got it.
No. Yeah, like the whole, yeah, I know. That's why I said good. Yeah, I love the whole May coming around thing.
Yeah. So my question
into the
is
the building that they just bombed. Like,
yeah,
why are there kids in here?
Yeah, right.
Like, how did you not know this?
My question is, does everybody have a certain trigger phrase that kind of makes them realize who they are? Or at least mostly, because May's was, you know, Coulson yelling at her, get your head in the game, May.
Wake up, May. Ah, and she kind of like snapped there for a second.
Yeah, and it's like, and it was Daisy, you know, I need you, to Coulson, and that snapped him. So I'm wondering if everybody has their own specific trigger phrase, and nobody knew Captain Fomerica's before he, you know, committed the ultimate sacrifice. Is it me or did Ada look kind of sad that he died?
Who?
Ada. She looked kind of concerned that he died.
I didn't miss any expression of any kind.
And she looked concerned that he passed. Not necessarily like, oh, I'm sad. It was just like, oh, that wasn't supposed to happen.
All right, it was probably more of a, huh, you humans keep surprising me.
Yeah.
I want to be like you.
So
why would you kill yourself to save a bunch of ones and zeros? Interesting.
But he was kind of right. Nobody really knew anything about him, and now we'll never know. Though we'll probably get a whole funeral episode.
Oh, and the whole how do you know this isn't real discussion was also well written.
Yeah, surprisingly.
He's playing a thing. It's like, yeah. How do we know this isn't real?
Yeah, I mean, they're not wrong.
Twist it around. Which one's real? No, I'm pretty sure this is not the real one.
Yeah, this is definitely not real.
Ada's booth, and she has the sleeping people.
Coulson, forgetting for a moment that this is not the real world, go save the NPC kids, because that's what Coulson would do even in the real world. Doesn't matter if these are real, fake, friend, enemy. Those are kids, and they need to be saved.
Not just any kids, either. Kids that he sent to that place.
Yeah, so that is actually, even though they are NPCs, and Coulson knows they're NPCs, that is totally within character for Coulson to do, to be like, I don't care. Those are kids. I need to save
them. Go get them.
So, yeah, it's the
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, good job on coming back, finally.
You're winning me back over, and I enjoyed this way more than I expected to.
Yeah. Now, and again, it kind of also goes with every time we call Sky, call her Sky, the show is bad. We started calling her Daisy more and more, and now, you know, the show is getting better and better. There's a correlation.
Exactly.
Less Ward, less Sky equals better show. Not the actress, because she's actually a pretty decent actress. But more Daisy / Quake, better show.
Yes.
Oh, and man. Good.
Get Rob Dalton's face in it.
Yes, Rob Dalton, if you.
Have you, Rob Dalton, whoever you are.
I travel a lot for my day job now. If I ever find myself in Arizona, I'm searching him down. Like, and I will take a selfie with him. I will absolutely. I'm like, trust me, I just need to take a picture with you. All right.
I'll buy a knife.
Take a selfie with you. Just let me take a selfie with you. And I will send it to you. I will put it up on this show. And it will be, yes. Me and my stupid face next to Rob Dalton's stupid handsome face, who I'm sure is very handsome and such a good businessman.
Fine businessman.
Yes. All right. Are we calling somebody?
I think we better call Saul.
Yeah. So let's call Daryl first. See what he has to say.
Better call Mike Mabel. You'd better call Mike Mabel? No, I don't think he'd like that at all. The season begins, as usual now, in Saul's black and white future, only now with some more speaking and even a little hint to the character we know and love. After that, it's right back to where we left off last season, with Chuck being a total bastard. Really, though, and I think it will be this way for the rest of the season, this is Mike's show now. He finds a bug in his car and sets a trap to find those who are tracking him. And that's it. And you know what? It's a goddamn masterpiece of pacing. You know how I complained the other week that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did in one episode what Legends of Tomorrow did in 10 minutes? Well, this episode spends a huge chunk of its time on a sequence that most other shows would have spent a matter of seconds on. Mike doesn't just follow some intuitive leap to find a bug because the writers gave him a hint. He doesn't get there in the time it takes to cut to a dismantled car. He earns it, and we're taking along for the ride with him. And yes, I did find it funny that the gas cap was the first thing he tossed aside.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Alright.
I guess you're not on Daryl's side, because I am 100% in agreement. I loved this episode.
Oh, my God. No. All right.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Absolutely wonderful.
I loved the beginning scene, although I'm never going to get used to seeing the random interjection of the Saul porn stash. Like, I am never going to get used to that.
And man, did I want some Cinnabon.
Oh, my God, yes. My next note was, Cinnabon. God damn it, now I'm hungry. Thanks, Better Call Saul.
Man, I want some Cinnabon.
So bad, no one, man. No one Cinnabon.
Not one anywhere near me.
Cinnabon. What's Cinnabon?
Alabama's
so
severely lacking in Cinnabons.
Where's the closest Cinnabon to me? Is there one up in Clearwater Mall? There might be one up in Clearwater Mall. Cinnabon. Let's just look up Cinnabon. Google, tell me where one's closest to me, please. Locations. Fine. I'll go to locations. Where's the closest Cinnabon to me? Look up my zip code that nobody knows except for Jazz, who's, you know, knows my address. No, there's nothing close to me. Shit. though they are giving away a briefcase full of cash because of Better Call Saul.
They're all over, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to the Better Call Saul Insider podcast thing. And they were talking about Cinnabon and.
Jesus,
like, yeah, cool. they let us take over the store for like a whole day. They did anything we needed, they gave it to us. And like, and the two like teenage girls that are working there with Saul are actual Cinnabon employees.
Yes.
They're not extras or actresses. They're for real legit Cinnabon employees. And they did just film them for like an hour of actually working and making Cinnabon to do that, you know, time lapse thing.
Yeah, the closest one's out near Disney for me. Jesus. Might have to go.
Wow.
Might go up to Disney. I might have to do some Cinnabon.
freaking Cinnabon.
All right. So, I did love the in the intro. Got the statue of Saul Liberty. I loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was fantastic.
Statue of Saul Liberty, and Saul struggling with being a snitch.
Yeah. You don't say anything to a lawyer. You're an asshole. You got me caught.
No, like it just shows you how good of an actor Bob Odenkirk is.
Yes.
Like, you could just see the self-loathing in his face as
yes.
he pointed to where the kid was hiding. apparently that kid was some kind of famous Disney actor?
I don't know. I didn't see his face.
Okay. Well, on that podcast, they were saying they were filming at that mall, and everybody was coming up to that kid to get autographs and not Bob Odenkirk.
I'm not a huge – I'm not typically in on – because I don't – my kids are not in the demographic of Disney's live-action shows, really, so I don't really know their live-action actors that well. So,
that's fair.
My kids are all into the animated stuff, so.
Yeah, that's the better place to be. Anyway.
Absolutely. They watched –
I'm not a fan of the live-action stuff.
They watched – what was it? There was a dancing show. But that's the only one that they really watched and enjoyed. And then Dog with a Blog, and then they finally realized Dog with a Blog was fucking retarded. And I don't use that word. so it says something. Like, there are a few words that if you know me, even like if you partially know me, there are certain words that I just don't use. That is one of them. So I kind of miss when shows kind of give you even the littlest reminder of what happened last season, because I have no idea what happened.
For which part?
The very beginning, like, or pretty much anything. Like, I was lost a lot of this. Like, I'm sure this referenced something that I watched a year and a half ago now.
Yeah, man, it's where Chuck taped Jimmy's confession of changing the address on that form to make H&M look like idiots, so that Kim could get the Mesa Verde account back.
Okay. But
that's where it starts off.
I did. I put in here. First of all, that rainbow painting on the wall, though.
You didn't watch the second episode. Never mind.
No. The realism in this.
It's gone. Spoiler alert, the rainbow's gone.
No! I know he was painting over at the end of this episode, so I figured it wasn't going
to
be there for very long.
I needed this one, the half rainbow.
So the realism in the old people in this show is staggering sometimes, and it's kind of hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit, but don't forget to mention my lily pond.
It's in your backyard.
it's in your backyard. It includes everything that's inside of your backyard.
So I know, especially I was a bill collector, and again, CJ wants to be a lawyer. So I've learned a lot of rules about recording people and everything like that. I go, first notice that tape's not admissible in court. There's no acknowledgement that he's been recorded. 2 seconds later, ha, nailed it.
Oh, I said that like at the end of the season. I was like, he recorded it. And what's he going to do with that? He can't use it in court. So
And Hamlin, or whatever his name is, Hamlin, maybe, I don't remember. Yeah. He's called him out on it. He's like, all right, what's the point of this then? And Chuck's just like,
okay. I can think of a reason.
I look at Chuck being just the worst. I like Mike's driving theme that he gets for such an awfully long, drawn out, uneventful scene of him just driving.
Following that guy from place to place.
Yeah.
Or is it the thing?
No, the first one. The very first one. He actually just was driving in the desert, being chased by nothing. He got his own driving thing, which is cool. Mike always...
Yes, I enjoyed him disassembling his car. He's very thorough.
So... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 7 minutes of disassembling a car.
And it was awesome.
7 horrible, drawn out, uneventful,
7 amazing, grinding,
making me want to beat my head into the chair in front of me minutes.
Making me want to stand on my couch and applaud and its awesomeness.
No, you are wrong.
No, you're wrong. Because it was great.
Mike has the problem in this of the prequel problems. We know Mike's ending. We know where Mike's story goes.
Yeah, but we want to know how he got there. I'm excited to see how Mike ends up working for Gus.
You're not wrong. And you know, I'm right there with you. And we've already been spoiled that sometime this season Gus is back. I'm kind
of
interested.
The beginning of the second episode.
No, I might have forgotten a lot of it. I'm interested to see if they do
it next week, folks.
I didn't look at the. It'd be interesting if they do the kind of thing what they did with this episode or last season, where they put Gus's back in the show titles. It'll be interesting if they do that again, something like that this season. I haven't looked at them. I haven't done anything with that one. So, the Gilligan effect, full blown in this one, where just a single scene. Takes, I don't know, disassembling a car for 7 minutes.
So you're not a Gilligan fan, huh?
I never said that. You know I've never said, you know I don't say that. This episode was egregious with it. There's that thing.
Well, he directed this episode.
The
next episode.
There's the thing where you use it sparingly. I've said all last season that I love the Gilligan effect in certain things. Like, the woman coming down the stairs on the stupid little thing was great because there's something happening. That's the thing with classic Gilligan effect. There's something happening around there. Either there's, you know, Bob Odenkirk's great, like, facial acting and reacting to this woman taking forever to coming down the stairs, or something happening in the background when it's just Mike working on a car for 7 minutes. It is... Or... tampering with a gas cap for 3.5 minutes, and yes, I counted.
Well, you didn't like it. It worked for me, though.
It worked
amazingly.
Oh, I actually, it got list worthy. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit.
I don't know. For me, it like built all this tension of like, where's he going to find it? Surely he's going to find something. And it, like, didn't pay off. And I was like, okay, well, that was... Oh, and then it did pay off. Okay, I'm
it
back
didn't...
on board.
The fact that, like, I'm not looking for Gotham-esque payoffs. Because I'm on well-recorded and actually pretty well-listened-to show saying that I don't like Gotham-esque payoffs. I want there to be some kind of payoff, but, you know, it doesn't have to be immediately. But when there's literally seemingly nothing and I just spent the last 7 minutes watching this man work on a car. I mean, it could be the fact that I, as a person who physically cannot drive because of my eyes, just working on, I'd rather watch paint dry than anything to do with cars whatsoever. Even if it's tearing them apart, it's also the reason why I physically... can't stand to watch the Fast and the Furious movies. It could just be a me thing. I'm completely willing to accept that. But, you know, I'm kind of, you know, reviewing a show, giving my own opinion of things. So,
that was fair. You can have an opinion. I'm not calling you wrong. And I'm just saying that I loved it.
I'm waiting to get, you know, emails about like what happened when we were doing Daredevil season one. Like, Fifi's a B29. That was great. That episode, that scene with the Air Force captain. That was fan freaking tastic.
Yes, it was wonderful. I love that they called back to that. That he's now paying a consequence for something that he did.
And a pretty minor thing. Like, that was not really something that...
Something that was just kind of like a, ha, that's cool, little plot point thing. It's like, oh, that's going to come back around to... You're going to now pay consequences for conning the freaking army.
Yeah.
Or the Air Force.
That was good. I love that. And I love things like this where you actually get to focus on the characters. I did get to look at... Oh, okay.
And then, the guy threatening is like, I'm going to take you to court. It's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
It's like, look, I do this for a living.
Stolen
valor, like, you do that, I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then I'm going to make your life a living hell. Let's just let it roll, okay?
However, this is not stolen valor. Good job. I put down here, research note, is stolen valor a thing? I didn't know. I just looked it up, not in the way that he was talking, because, you know, he seemed like he's a pretty dumb dude. This is not stolen valor.
I don't know what stolen valor is.
It is the Stolen Valor Act of 2013 amends federal crime code to rewrite provisions relating to fraudulent claims about military service to a subject of fine imprisonment for no longer than a year or both to an individual with intent to obtain money, property, or any tangible benefit fraudulently holds himself or herself out to be a recipient of a Medal of Honor, a Distinguished Service Class, a Navy Cross, an Air Force Cross, a Silver Star, a Purple Heart, a Combat Infantryman's Badge, a Combat Action Badge, Combat Medical Badge, Combat Action Ribbon, or Combat Action Medal. None of which, technically, he did. He said he was in the war, stupid captain guy, believed him. So... not stolen valor.
Fair enough.
And it's at the 40-minute mark, I had my first note of, oh my god, this show's taking so fucking long. I put in all caps, Angry Chuck is not convincing! I remember him being a better angry actor last season.
I didn't feel that, but it's fine.
Not this episode. He did not feel like a good. There was no good angry acting involved here.
Are you talking about the part when he's like tricking Ernesto?
Yeah.
With the batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's because he was acting. So that whole thing was a setup.
Yeah.
Because he's just as much of a con man as Jimmy is.
Yeah.
And they're both apparently very intelligent. So. So now we get to see Chuck B. Chuck con Jimmy.
Yeah. But Mike is absolutely at his best and the best thing in the show when he's doing something. But this is boring. I mean, I'm sure it'll come up with something eventually, but dear God.
He just took it breathed. It let the whole situation breathe. And it didn't lay it out for you. It let you watch all the steps. Found the thing. He contacted Black Market Vet Guy. he got an exact copy of the thing that he found.
Yeah.
Figured out how to track it, drained the battery on one slowly. He didn't just take the battery out, because apparently that would be suspicious. And then swapped him out so that he could follow.
Maybe if there would have been some kind of like, maybe if there would have been some kind of like, even background dialogue or something like that. I had a note. I said, are they just going to continue on with this, the battery draining scene until daytime is over? Oh, thank God for jump cuts. It's bad when I say thank
well
God for jump cuts.
It was Mike doing his... not somebody... This is an unusual situation. Somebody got the drop on Mike, which never, ever, ever happens. And this is how he reacts to it. And that's the beauty of it.
All right, so...
He doesn't let it...
This show...
He's going... He went thoroughly till he found the bug. He came up with a plan, and now he's turning it back on the people who bugged him.
But this episode is about as bad
awesome.
As... early Iron Fist or S.H.I.E.L.D. I actually, when I started writing this, I didn't realize how far I had left in the show, so I took a list of things I would rather be doing with my time and well-needed bandwidth instead of watching this show. Watching any given horrible anime for the fourth or fifth time. Playing any video game, including the bad ones. Working. Just working. sleep. Though this episode's almost making me do just that. Playing Russian roulette with my penis and a spork. Throwing stones at pumpies. Dancing to polka music. Reading the Magna Carta, then reading it again. And trying to remember if I should give a shit about anything that's going on in this goddamn episode. And then the episode ended. And I'm like, oh, thank God the episode's over. If season 2's premiere was a highlight for the Breaking Bad universe, this episode is what it feels like to watch your loved ones die.
Man. I don't think we've ever disagreed this hard on something.
No, I have been strongly met on a bunch of things.
Even Daredevil season 1, I liked it a lot, but I mean, I loved this episode. I thought it was fantastic. I wasn't bored one second.
Oh man, just so.
I was like, I didn't even take that many notes because I was just. I mean, granted that not a ton of stuff happened.
No, that's the point.
That? Sure,
nothing happened.
Something happened.
Nothing
stuff happened. Don't say nothing happened. That is not a fair statement.
Mike stared at the camera angrily for several minutes at a time.
While eating pistachios.
Yeah, while eating pistachios. We had Saul's porn stash again. So, I mean, just oh my God. And I put down here, dear Lord, I hope episode 2 doesn't bore me to tears. And then I put down the beginning of episode 2, and then I fell asleep. So, apparently there was a point where I don't remember where it is right now that bored me enough to actually put me to sleep, finally.
I don't know. We'll see if Francesca can bring you back.
Maybe. I will try. I, as always, I will continue to, I don't hope that Better Call Saul is bad. I really want it to be good, because honestly, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. I really, really loved all of that season 1, season 2, and I love the universe at all. I love the entire universe of this entire Breaking Bad thing. This episode was just misery incarnate for me.
Well, CJ's wrong. It was great. I loved it. I have a few more notes. Chuck didn't hate me for 10 minutes. Quote.
Yeah.
Well-timed lightning. I don't remember which scene that was, but
I don't know.
Somebody said something and it was situated by lightning. Oh, no, it was Mike. He was doing something. Oh, frick.
But not saying a single thing outside of his name. I love Mike's voice.
And poor Kim.
Slam talk
poor
more.
Kim. I hope they give Kim better stuff to do before the season's over.
Yeah, that was not good either. Like, I love Kim, and just watching her go through that is just not, no.
Yeah, watching her doubt herself is not something I enjoy.
No, not one bit.
I want strong Kim back.
Yes, strong Kim is best Kim. So I might be wrong. That's fair. I don't mind. Again, you know.
It's fine if you... I understand your grievances. I just didn't feel the same way
and,
at all.
And that's fine. I mean, it's been kind of, anybody who's been listening to the show knows for the last 3 years that we've been doing this knows what kind of things make me tick. And this show and this episode hit all of my points of making me tick. So let's go ahead and wrap up, shall we?
We shall.
All right, you can get in contact with us by emailing the show, geekioshow@gmail.com. Make sure you put spoiler in the subject line. Tell me how I was wrong, or tell me how Jazz was wrong, whichever. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of the social medias /geekioshow. Apparently we're affiliated on Twitch, so throw us a couple bits. We love you. Give us a call on the Geek Hotline, 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. Our website, which has all of our previous shows and more, geek-io.net/spoilershow. And, of course, you can support this very show and everything on the Geek.io network, patreon.com/geek.io or geek-io.net/Amazon. Do your Amazon shopping there. A little bit comes back to us. Doesn't cost you one penny extra.
And we have show title candidates.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Enter, Sackman. Always at the dojo. One does not simply walk down hallways. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Wing. Sexy Chai Tea. Clary X, The Show. Hoo-ha Dance. Ash Brown's Kyle Forever. Ninja Claws and Booty Shorts. What an exit. What an exit? Trip's wonderful face. I'm not used to hearing old Irish people. Shake the Matrix. Better Call Mike Mabel. Random interjections of Porn Stash and Strong Kim is the best Kim.
Yes, indeed. All right, folks.
Here and here. These are my two favorites.
Man, I said both of them. I don't really... Go with.
Yeah, you did say both of them, didn't you? You were on fire tonight.
Yeah, and then I ruined it, apparently, with my hating of Better Call Saul.
It's okay. It's okay. You can hate Better Call Saul. This episode.
This episode.
You can't hate it as a whole.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Like, it's still one of my favorite things on television. Shake the Matrix. It is Shake the Matrix. All right, folks. We will see you right back here next week with more Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in episodes 2 and 3 of Better Call Saul. Until then, bye.
Bye.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.